Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this fifth day of February 2023 as we take a look at one of the most, difficult of all aspects of living, and that is the word change. And we have a great deal of difficulty with it because we're uncertain as to what changes are going to happen and how will they equivocate into my life, your life? How will they manifest? Will we be able to handle it? Is it in our favor? Is it not in our favor? These are all the things that we think about in our brains day in and day out. And with all this being said, it is very difficult for most people to understand the nature of change and how it all works. So my question was from Tim here, and he lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he says, why is change so hard? I want to meditate, I really do, but I never seem to get around to it. I have other bad habits that I never seem to change. Why? And he then says, Greg, help me. Tim, I want you to understand that I can't do much over the podcast. I just can't. I have to talk to you and get into it. So all I can really give you is some broad brush strokes. And if I'm able to do that, then I feel like I've served you well. And I hope that this really does help. Change is inevitable because our bodies are changing. We live in the constant of a condition. That condition is our human body. And that condition is made up of DNA, genetics, and a lot of chemistry in our brains, in our body, that we know very little or nothing about as average people, as our pedestrian mentalities will allow. Science is learning more and more and more. This is why I urge you to read Sapolsky's book, Behave, and I urge you to read Homo Deus and Sapiens. And if you read these books, you will have a general idea of what is going on in change, as the body changes. And the sad part about a lot of us is that we merely change in accord with our body. As our body changes, we change. Our behaviors change, our preferences change, our likes, our dislikes, our beliefs, they change because we're headed towards death. And the demise of the human body is inevitable. So the idea of change is not something that we like. Look in the mirror every day. There's some change. There's something happening. I have 100 jokes on it, but I won't give you any of them right now. But you look in the mirror and you think, where did that come from or who is that? And you start to realize that there is a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we don't truly understand a great deal about. So change is going to happen, and when you're young, you think you'll never change. So why can't you meditate? Okay, you say, I want to meditate, but you never get around to it, and you have other health things. The reason for it is your mind is set in the synapses of how your brain fires off over and over and over again, which is often referred to as habit. And in these habits and in all of this that occurs in habit, we tend to build and fortify certain things in our brain, certain chemicals that come out and explode into our brain, literally, oxytocins and, there's so many. There's about four or five. It doesn't matter, you know. If you name them, what does it matter? Serotonins, things like that. There's lots of them. And as they fire off, they set a pattern for behavior. And these behaviors have a lot to do with the way we go about our daily life. I'm keeping it really, really simple. Then the hormones kick in, and then the genetics kick in. And pretty soon, we're set in our ways without knowing why we're set in our ways. So all of this is a matter of really, and I'm going to keep it so simple, Tim, please forgive me. This is not scientific. We become simpletons. We just live our life in the habits and patterns that comfort our body. And that's the major issue. How do I comfort this body? How do I pretend like it's not aging, it's not changing, it's not going through its own personal changes? How do I do that? And that's the reason why you probably can't remember much of what I teach here. You can't accentuate meditation in your life because it's not relative to your gratifications. It's not relevant to you know, the things you like and the things you like to do that comfort your body and make you feel as though you're safe, you're okay, you're whatever you need to feel emotionally. And because all of that is going on constantly inside of all of us, me included, we start to develop tendencies, genetic tendencies of our father, our mothers, and even way back beyond our great-grandparents, things like that. And we find that we never develop in our life virtue. We don't have a great deal of virtue because we're so busy accommodating the ego, the pride, which are all a part of the genetic disposition, that are supported by the chemistry in our bodies. And because we live in this fashion, in this function of mind and body, we don't really want to, shall we say, make any huge changes that would disrupt the comfort, the feeling of security, the feeling of righteousness that we have in our daily life. So you can know you shouldn't smoke, or you shouldn't drink, or you shouldn't smoke pot, or you should meditate, or you shouldn't eat fatty foods. You know, we have all that knowledge before us. But it's the chemicals in our body that determine what we're going to do. We allow the state of the body, the condition of the body, to determine our habits, our lifestyle, and the way we want to think in order to defend that lifestyle. Virtue is of very little concern to us, very little. And virtue would look like that which exceeds the ideals and idea of living our life from our body and questioning the impulses we have emotionally about our bodies and maybe making a transformation, making a change. So what you're going to have to do, Tim, is step away from Tim. You're going to have to realize that everything that Tim wants, Tim shouldn't always get. You're going to have to realize that the things that Tim wants as a body, as a, you know, a biological being, is not always in its best interest, and you just stop. That's all I can say. You let the emotions and feelings that you have to do something self-destructive, you let them pass. You don't act on them. You watch. There's so many techniques you can use, but one of them is just simply self-observation. Watch. Watch and see why you want that donut, when you want that donut, and what that donut is supposed to do to make you feel better about yourself. Now, with all this being said, once you understand that, then you begin to understand, begin, not totally, but begin to understand the crux of the matter, which is that we are triggered by our emotions. And they can take us into some very, very difficult places in our life if we're not careful. And most people are not careful. They're indulgent. And they see nothing wrong with indulging their emotions and being fascinated by all sorts of things that the emotions can conjure up. I hope that helped you, Tim. I really do. It's a lot more involved than what I just said, but it's a good beginning. And if you need more help, if you really want more help, give me a call. You know where I am. And please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope you'll join me. Namaste.